about an hour ago in a studio in Northwest Raleigh. It's the Star Wars Episode 7 podcast special, where Jack and I will talk about what we thought of The Force Awakens, directed by J.J. Abrams. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, welcome to the Star Wars special with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And give Mark Hamill the Oscar now.
Forewarned, before we get into any more details, we're going to be talking about the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, do not listen to this podcast.
Skip ahead to the next podcast.
Yes.
Skip ahead because I can finally talk about it.
Yes. So
actually, no, I saw it today.
Yeah, you did see it. So,
because Taffy's asked me, he goes, well, how was it? I go, good. He goes, what about it? I go, I can't tell you. Because you really can't tell anybody what it's about without spoiling. I go, because it's got spoilers in it.
It's kind of weird because the prequels, is like, oh, we know he turns into Darth Vader. Like, we get the answers are all in the movies we've already seen. So what is there to really spoil?
Yeah, the prequels, we all know they're terrible. So, I shouldn't say terrible because it's not really fair to those three movies because it had to go up against three of the better movies maybe ever, especially sci-fi type movies.
Yeah.
So it's really not fair to compare those to the original three.
Yeah, but it was made by the same guy, you know, like it was George Lucas.
I get it, but George is a big fan of us. He listens to us all the time, and I don't want to have him go, well, that's consider me unsubscribed, Jay and Jack. You don't want to lose George Lucas as a listener.
That's true. Yeah, it's he's a major demographic.
Yeah, it is
in our listenership.
Like, hey, I keep waiting for us to invite us out to Lucasfilms. Still waiting for that invite.
Skywalker Ranch is where
Skywalker Ranch, whatever it's called. So I would go no matter what it's called. It could be the Pleasure Ranch for all I know.
Soon to be released. Pilot.
Just wait for the sequel. I can guarantee you right now the prequel won't be as good as the original.
So here we are. Episode 7 has been released. And could you say it's been a while since there's been this much anticipation for a movie? Arguably since like the first of the prequel movies when they came out?
Well, maybe I was never into the Hunger Games or the Harry Potters or the Lord of the Rings. I don't know if it had that kind of... I mean, I saw a lot of it on Twitter. I didn't care, so it didn't matter to me if I got spoiled or not. This was kind of hard because we had a thread right on our Facebook page. I went, and every time I popped on, I have to scroll through it pretty fast. I pretty much knew, because people kept saying, have you seen it yet? Don't get spoiled. That I pretty much knew what was going to happen, the things that happened. I knew what were going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't shocked by it.
Yeah.
Still was kind of like, oh, come on, man. You get it, the age of the actor involved and stuff like that, or actress, whatever you want. We can go ahead and say it,
we can spoil now, yeah. So, last chance, you've been forewarned.
Last chance, you've been warned.
All right.
May the Force be with you and also with you.
But yeah, I mean, because there's just some, it's kind of like we were saying before with the prequels, we kind of knew it was going to happen because it was in the movies that we already saw in episode 4, 5, 6. But this one's like the first time we've gone into new territory with the characters that we don't know yet.
It was new territory, but it was almost like an old story.
Yeah, that's actually one of the bigger complaints about the movie so far. It has a 95% positive on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's not like, you know, being panned, but some people... The fans are kind of griping that it's kind of a lot of New Hope elements are in this movie.
It's like a reboot of New Hope to basically tell the next, I'm assuming there's going to be another one.
Yes.
and probably another one after that. It's Disney after all, so there's going to be...
So episode 8 is actually going to be May 2017.
Really? So they're getting out pretty quick.
The whole cast is coming back, and they're filming in...
The whole cast?
Month. The whole cast.
The whole cast. Everyone was in this movie is coming back?
Exactly, yeah.
Everyone.
So it must be flashbacks for, spoiler alert, Han Solo getting killed. What?
I was not shocked by that.
Neither was I. That was the one theory I had that came true.
Yeah, because I said, okay, someone's going to have to die. And I said, because the way everyone's acting, and I said, it won't be Luke Skywalker because we haven't seen him.
Yep.
I mean, if you show him at the end of the movie, he gets killed. Like, okay, that's kind of
like...
TIE
fighter flies by and shoots him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or he's just laying on the ground burned up.
Yeah.
A little payback, a little, you know, for not being home.
Aunt Peru, Uncle Owen.
Aunt Peru, Uncle Owen. You're a little toasty.
There's nothing left for me here now. I'm going to become a Jedi like my father.
I gotta go. But no, it's a...
What's with the Skywalkers all being kind of whiny? I mean, I guess it's his nephew, but they're all kind of brooding and...
It's well, you know. Hey, Dad. Thanks, Dad. Because I knew, I go, okay, this point of the movie, I go, oh, he's going to kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's because he wants to stay on the dark side. He wants to be like his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
He's carrying around his old melted mask. And
well, because that's the thing that, you know, Darth Vader kind of redeemed himself at the end of Return of the Jedi because he killed the Emperor who was trying to kill Luke. But it's interesting that it seems... Because at the end we saw, you know, Darth Vader was a spirit, Anakin Skywalker with Yoda and Ben. So is Darth Vader in spirit form? Did he lure Kylo Ren or Ben Solo away from Luke? Like, what happened there? That's interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out the next one.
Maybe. Yeah,
it's also like Luke did the whole, you know, at the end of the movie, obviously he's become Obi-Wan. You know, you know, Darth had betrayed him and, you know... Or Anakin had betrayed him, and he goes to the dark side. And so he goes off to, you know, pout, whatever it is, and, you know, live by himself and, you know, reflect, oh, I kind of screwed up. I didn't see that coming, even though I have the force behind me. I couldn't see him turn to the dark side. But then you had Luke doing the same thing. You know, basically it's a whole, you know, you have the droid looking, you know, has the map and all that stuff. So it was similar. It was really similar to A New Hope, but it didn't upset me in any way.
Yeah,
I like the story of A New Hope. So, when I was a kid, it was just Star Wars.
Yes, it was just Star Wars. But I will say, I think it was important to kind of go back to some structure that people knew because people were so like just had such a bad taste about the prequels in their mouth that going back to kind of the roots, if you will, of what made Star Wars great, I think was the kind of the right idea. Plus, it makes sense to me because I'm a history major and history repeats itself. Like, you know, the mistakes of the past often tend to repeat themselves. So I thought that was appropriate in that sense. Plus, there's a lot of new character stuff going on, but it's just, you can tell it's a little cyclical, you know, the dark side and the light side, it kind of ebbs and flows where one is on top and the other one's on the bottom and then vice versa. Right. But like, just what's your reaction? Because you were a big complainer about the prequels. You went and saw every single one of them because you are a Star Wars fan and you definitely saw them. But you had a lot of complaints about the prequels. And you honestly, I would say you're a bit of on the forefront because you were complaining about them before a lot of people really started complaining about them.
Yeah, because I would complain about the special effect. It was special effects and lack of a story, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this got back to where the special effects are important. But also the story is important. The acting is important. The character development is important. Where this movie, there were special effects, but you just weren't like, oh my God. You know, where the whole thing was like, it's like the prequels, they hit you over the head with the special effects.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this one, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was cool special effects, but it wasn't like, oh my God. I mean, the first one I've talked about before, when you see, when I saw Star Wars and eventually A New Hope, what it was later called. You know, sitting in as a 14-year-old kid, sitting in the big theater, and it was a big theater back then, going, you know, probably my tongue was hanging out going, oh my God, this is so cool. This is so cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool. But it was also the story. It had good versus evil. It was it's basically the Nazis versus, it was like Hitler is, it's had that whole World War II type thing element to it. And this one had the same thing, and it wasn't the special effects. Whereas the other three, the prequels, I got to the point where I was so sick of the special effects. I go, please stop.
Yeah.
Stop. And then some of the acting.
Kind of like when it's in the city and there's like a billion things going on in the background.
Yeah. Close the blinds.
Yeah.
I don't need to see him going. I get it. It's like they got so caught up with their technology and, oh, we got to make it trippy and fancy and stuff that they got away from the story. And Star Wars has always, like I said, the special effects. I'm not going to say the special effects aren't important, but the story is what's important. That's what we fell in love with, was the story,
well,
the characters, the fantasy of the whole thing.
And I think that they're kind of wise in this movie where, from the little featurettes about the movie I've seen, is J.J. tried to do as many practical effects as possible. And if they were somewhere, they try to shoot on a real location. Because, like, the prequels, it was all green screen. Like, there was never, right, like, a place they were where it was actually a real place. And in this movie, they were like, no, we're going to shoot on real locations. If it can be a practical effect, it'll be a practical effect, to where, like, BB-8, that was a practical puppet. Like, it was an actual real thing that the actors could interact with. Whereas in the prequels, you know, some of the actors have argued that they were just talking to a green screen, or there was nothing there. So from an acting standpoint, that's maybe why, you could say the writing too, but the acting was just so dry and monotone in the prequels.
I've heard actors say it is hard sometimes when you don't, because that's why they say some actors are like, I'm just off the top of my head, what's his name, De Niro, will stay there and actually do the scene with you even though he's not in the scene.
Yeah.
So you get the effect.
Yeah.
Instead of just talking to a blank wall where you're actually looking at him, he's acting with you. And I think that does. I think that is a big thing. When you're staring at a green screen, that's got to be hard.
Yeah.
To take after take after take. And you're like going, okay, where's this guy again? Where's he standing? You got to look over here. You got to concentrate on everything else instead of just your craft. I think that would be a tough one too. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Let's talk about, we'll kind of break it down here. Let's first talk about the returning characters or the returning cast. What was your thoughts about the returning cast?
You know, Harrison Ford, was he 73 now? He's just cool no matter how old he is.
Right? He just jumped right back in there.
He's got the gray hair now. He's mm-hmm. he's obviously a little slower, a little
he's
older.
He's in his 70s.
Know? He's 73. Yeah. I looked it up because we're in the car driving home. I said, because I figure that's another reason why he didn't want to come back. He's like, I want to keep coming back and playing this role as a major character.
Yeah.
Because he's in most of the movie.
Yeah, I would argue it's almost a Han Solo movie.
Right. It's like a goodbye to Han Solo.
Yeah.
He's great. I mean, it's just like he looks younger than me, and I'm 20 years younger than him. So I hate him. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Calista Flockhart must keep him young. That's must be what it is.
I guess so. Well, she's now in Supergirl.
Yeah.
You had Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
She looked good. She's got a little deeper voice.
Yeah, a little gravelly. I think threw Kayla off a little bit.
Yeah, threw Kayla off. I said, well, she's not in her 30s anymore. She's not in her 20s. She's in her 20s.
She was
right?
young. She was like 18, I think, when the
18,
first
19. Yeah. Yeah. So she's. I think you haven't seen her, if you haven't watched her in a lot of things, and all of a sudden you see her, whoa, what happened? You know, she's just, that's just how, we age, we get older.
Well, she lived a hard life too, but she party hard.
But if you've seen her in interviews, she's still quick witted and very funny.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And very blunt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to see her again.
Yep.
Let's see, Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill.
Yeah. What did you think about him only being in the movie for like a minute?
I figured that's what was going to happen, that they weren't going to. I thought he might take the lightsaber out of it, but he didn't do it. I thought that'd have been cool. It's mine. It
That's where has that been? I've been looking for that since my hand got cut off.
You know, it's funny. When he turned around, I forgot about his hand.
With the robot hand?
Oh, that's right. I forgot he had I forgot he's robotic in his hand. You just forget.
Yeah.
When he turned around, it's like, because you're waiting to see him. You know who it is. It wasn't a shock to it was.
No,
so that's
no.
When they were going to get him. And I was like going, oh, yeah, all right. But I said, wow, he has to wait 2 more years before he says anything.
year and a half.
Year and a half.
But Yeah, yeah. I guess the fake flesh on his hand just doesn't last 30 years, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But did he lose the flesh on his hand during something else?
Well, so in Return of the Jedi, his hand got shot, but it was kind of just a hole there.
Right.
And then the hand was still there, so maybe it just kind of wore off over time or something.
Yeah, I guess so. You're training these Jedis, and, accidents happen. But it was cool seeing him again.
But
R2-D2.
Yeah, yeah.
C-3PO.
Yep.
Chewbacca.
It was interesting because Chewbacca is played by Peter Mayhew in the original movies, and he returned to do it, but his knees are so bad he can't run as well. So they had a double that would do most of the action shots, and if he was like sitting or standing, that would be Peter Mayhew.
Oh, I see that. I pulled up IMDb.
IMDb.
IMDb. Whatever it is. I pulled that up, and it says Chewbacca double. I go, what stunts did he do?
Basically, like any of the scenes where he's moving or running or whatever is the other
one. He's a tall guy, and tall people usually have bad knees after a while.
Yep. And then C-3PO, Anthony Daniels, came back, so still...
He sounded a little different.
Did he?
I just noticed it was a little different.
Well, he's I think, the only one to be in every single movie, which is interesting. But I loved his introduction into it because it was like... perfect in how he was in the previous two, just kind of always kind of get in the way of Han Solo a little bit.
Well, you have Han Solo and Princess Leia, or I'm sorry, General Leia, looking at each other. Or she's not General.
Leia. Or General Organa, her last name, but yeah.
Yeah, so they're looking at each other, and he's standing in the way.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, let me get out of the way. So it also had comedy. It also had times where you were laughing.
Yeah.
Which was nice. So that also brings back the first, because I don't remember laughing in the...
No, because it was so dry. Like the dialogue was just so monotone.
That's what the first three had, was humor too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I think that helps you, relate to a character when it has, does that. But I thought it was fantastic seeing those people again.
Oh yeah. So those were our returning characters. What about the new characters? Let's start with the good guys. So we have Finn, or FN2187.
Yeah. I liked him. I like the scene where he has the guy, and because the stormtroopers, you really never think of them as being, just
people. They're kind of just like
they're
fodder.
There's like guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like they die. They die.
Yeah.
He dies. But in the opening scene where the stormtrooper gets shot and he goes up and puts his hand on his head, his helmet, and there's blood on there.
That's the first time blood has been seen in Star Wars, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
It kind of shocked me. Mm-hmm. So I guess it is. And then you see his, his kind of looking, going, okay. And I saw this. I knew who the actor was going to be. So I figured.
Well, there's a lot
him.
Of theories. Like, would he get in Stormtrooper disguise like Luke did, or how does he come in? So there's a lot of theories all over the place. No one was sure if he was truly a Stormtrooper or not.
Well, at first I thought he might have just been playing. It might have been like undercover, just infiltrating the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
But, it turns out that he didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he rescues, he goes, I just want to do the right thing. But so I like,
I love that he said, I just want to do the right thing. And then Poe goes, you need a pilot, don't you? He's like, I need a pilot.
Well, Poe is funny too.
Yeah.
I liked him also. He reminded me of Han Solo.
Yes. Yeah.
He had Han Solo, kind of that cocky attitude.
Well, it's kind of like that pilot, right? Those that cocky pilot attitude.
Yeah, pilot. If you've seen the right stuff for
Top Gun.
Top Gun. It's they have that need.
So
that need.
I wonder, like, if you really are. I know one pilot, but he's not like a fighter pilot. But is that like a qualification you have to have, like when you're signing up for pilot school? Got to be like cocky, I guess.
I've had the privilege of meeting a few pilots. They've all seemed pretty down to earth, cool to me. I had one pilot who I used to teach his son in hockey. He said, "Anytime you want to go up in the jet," and then he got transferred out before I took him up on it. So, my bad. But yeah, they seem like down to earth people.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe it's more played for the movies and stuff.
Sure,
like
yeah,
that. But they are doing stuff that most of us can't do.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely,
most of us wouldn't want to do.
Right into the danger zone.
Yeah.
Gonna take a ride into the danger zone.
That could be a song.
Yeah, it could be.
And but you got to make sure at the end it just keeps saying the same thing over and over again.
Well, I think there was a joke on I think it was Family Guy where it's like he rhymed danger zone with danger zone. but yeah, I thought Poe Dameron was great. I thought he was a fun to watch character.
I didn't think he was dead at that point.
Neither did I. Heather was like, "Oh no, I liked him." I was like,
"I said, there's no way he goes out like that."
Well, I could say we're, I don't know if we're experts in the world and techniques of J.J. Abrams, but I'm like, unless I see him dead,
right,
or with a lightsaber through him and then falling into a pit, I'm pretty sure he's still alive.
Yeah. I didn't think he was dead.
I thought they were both great. I love Poe's like first scene with Kylo Ren was like, "So who does the talking first? Is it me or you?"
me. This whole mask thing's kind of throwing me off. That was funny.
Yeah, it was good. So what did you think of Rey?
At first I was kind of but then once she got really into her role,
mm-hmm.
I thought she did excellent.
Yeah, I loved her. I thought she was great.
It took me a moment. It took me a few scenes to warm up to her.
Mm-hmm.
But then once she got going, I figured she had to be something because she was almost like Luke.
Yep.
She
kind
was
of the,
Luke from the,
Luke was a farmer. She was a scavenger, but yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't as well. There was nothing really to farm there, right?
So, no.
They're eating these packets of inflatable bread.
Yeah.
Portions of bread. But she had a heart, and she had, of course, she gets the drone that's important to the story. And
Droid.
Did I say drone?
Yeah.
Sorry. A droid that's important to the story. She gets, it comes up to her. She finds it and doesn't give it up for, 20 packets?
It was 60 portions.
60 packs. 60 portions, which is a lot of portions.
Yeah.
One day she only got like a quarter portion.
I know.
I mean, 60 portions?
There's nothing better than gray bread. I mean,
was it gray or green?
It's like a grayish green, I guess.
Well, it must have been tasty because she was licking the bowl afterwards.
I guess if you're out there and you're starving. I thought she was a great character. I thought I loved when Finn comes and grabs her hand and starts running. She's like, "Why are you holding my hand? I know how to run." So I love just to kind of quickly just setting expectation that she's not a damsel in distress. She doesn't need to be saved, quote unquote.
Also, it was also a knock at all the movies over time that have always done that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, then,
best thing is she didn't fall down, hurt her ankle. And,
yeah. So I like that. There's sometimes when they're trying to make a girl character and they're kind of going over the top and like, "Oh, girls are just as good." But I thought this one was done really well and that it was kind of natural that she was just as good as a guy. I thought that was cool. Because I think it's good for girls too. Like if I have a girl one day, that'd be cool for her this is a cool figure for her to look up to that is also a girl.
She's tough. She's feminine. She doesn't take any crap.
And so was Leia too,
Yeah. Yeah, Leia didn't take any crap. She was tough. Didn't back down to Vader.
Yeah, exactly.
Kissed her brother, spoiler. Yeah.
I love there's a meme where it shows Princess Leia and the little subtitle says, "I kissed my brother once," and then it goes to Cersei Lannister and she's kind of smirk like, "Really?" Please.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. It's pretty funny.
I thought Rey was great. What'd you think about, there's a lot kind of mystery with Rey. She's staying on Jakku because she was left there when she was little, and she doesn't want to leave because, she's hoping one day her family comes back for her.
Yeah, we didn't. I wish I had a screenshot of how many days she's scratched off because she's inside her shelter. She's scratching every day. She does a little, the things where you're scratch five and so on and so on. She's counting down how many days she's been there.
Yes,
but I don't know how many. Obviously a long time because we see a flash where she's very young.
Yep,
when she was left behind.
Yeah, and I love that her fort was a fallen AT-AT. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yes.
From Empire. Real quick to go back to Finn, FN2187, that number is the number of Leia's cell in the first movie.
Oh, is it?
Little Easter egg love there.
Oh, coincidence. I think not.
Exactly. And then I loved the flash that she had when she touched Luke's and Anakin's lightsaber. A lot of stuff in there. Now, there were some cameos in there. There was Yoda.
I was trying to keep up. It was because there were quick flashes.
So there's a few voices, like Force voices talking to her. Yoda was there. You heard Luke's no from Empire when his dad tells him.
No!
And there was also Sir Alec Guinness saying, Rey, this is a first step into a much larger world. Or these are your first steps. And the way they got Sir Alec Guinness to say Rey is it took one of the things where he said afraid and they cut it out to where it said Rey.
It's amazing what they can do with technology.
I know, right? And then these are your first steps was actually Ewan McGregor came in and recorded it, and then they also overlaid Sir Alec Guinness's voice as well to do that.
Wow. Okay.
So that's kind of cool. Some more little cameos in there. But also kind of showed how Kylo Ren kind of screwed up Luke's plan to restore the Jedi Order there. So some neat stuff for sure. So what did you think about the twist where Rey ended up being the person that was going to wield the lightsaber and take on Kylo Ren?
I thought that the whole time.
Yeah, I think so too. But I liked how in the posters and everything it showed Finn with the lightsaber. It was like, oh, maybe Finn's the hero.
Well, Finn, he did try. He did. I mean, he did stand up to him.
Yeah.
And he fought him as long as he could.
Yeah.
But I liked that Carlo was afraid of him, afraid of her.
Yeah.
Like when he was trying to you know, get the information out of her, you could see the fear in his face. Was like he was afraid of her.
Yeah.
That the Force was strong in her. And he even tells, you know, like, hey, the Force is strong in this girl.
Yeah.
We got to watch out. But the fight scene reminded me of when Luke started going after Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And just like banging him, because at one point she's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
When she's knocking him back, where the anger is getting, you know, where the anger was getting the best of him. But I thought it was a great scene, great fight scene. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it in the sense because I did like the lightsaber duels in the prequels, but they're very choreographed. Like you can tell they're Jedis that are very experienced or whatever.
Yeah.
But this was more like primal. Like they're not, you know, they haven't been trained for their entire lives to lightsaber fight. They're just like taking it out on each other, which I think just makes for a more emotional lightsaber fight.
Because if he was trained, he would have killed Finn in a second.
I think he was taking his time with him, though. I feel like
he was just toying with him because he could have easily just, you know, said take it out of his hand.
But it's just my theory on that is, you know, how many other people out there with lightsabers out there? He probably killed all the trainees or whatever that was there, except for Luke. So he probably doesn't get to fight people with lightsabers that often. So he's like, you know, I might as well take my time with this a little bit.
I got to practice.
Yeah, this is like this is my chance to try this out here.
You know, because I just killed my dad. So, you know, you think you'd ask about his mom. All right, how's mom doing?
Yeah.
Is she still the leader, still running the show? Still got that ego trip going on?
I love the lightsaber fights. And it was just it kind of harkened back to what to your point. Because some people talk about this, some people don't, but the thing that made Luke special is he embraced the fact that he had dark side in him,
right?
But he didn't let it take over. Like he was able to balance both sides, where Anakin couldn't balance both sides. He just fell to the dark side, and apparently Kylo fell as well. But Luke was the first one to actually show that you can balance both sides as long as you know, always follow the light. But neither here nor there. I thought it was a great scene. I loved when he's trying to take the lightsaber out of the snow. Very reminiscent of Empire when he's in the Wampas thing and he's trying to force pick up the lightsaber.
Right.
So there are a lot of callbacks in the movie. But then it goes to her. I thought it was a really cool scene. Really, really cool scene.
She picks up and she goes, yes.
It was when we saw in IMAX, it was cool. Like when that happened, like the whole theater started clapping and cheering, which was kind of neat.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of clap. I think a lot of people that we were with saw it already.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been since today's Monday. It'd been out since Friday.
Thursday.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people had already seen, because I started clapping. Everyone went, I kind of look okay. I'll stop. I don't want to be the only one clapping.
I don't want to be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy.
Well, so far, too, in the theater we were just in, is it's very comfortable. It's very relaxing, so people are more chill.
At one point, I had to start moving around because I was falling asleep. not that the movie was bad. I loved the movie.
Yeah.
I told my wife, she goes, I go, no, it was a great movie. I go, but I had my sweatshirt on. I was kind of snuggled. I was really comfortable. I didn't sleep much the night before. Mm-hmm. Things going on. So I'm sitting there like this, and I feel myself dozing off. I go, all right, start moving around. So I don't know if you saw me. I'd kind of shift back and forth, move my legs. I kind of lowered the recliner down because it's a recline. It's ridiculous how comfortable I was.
Yeah.
I've never been that comfortable watching a movie in my life. And I think that I was like saying on the way home, I go, they have to do this because the televisions at home, your home entertainment is so nice that you can just do the privacy of your own home. You could watch a movie and still get the same feeling you get. Unless you went back to the huge screens.
Well, that's what kind of IMAX has. That's what, like, IMAX, I will say, enjoyed, on one hand, I didn't enjoy having to, like, wait 2 hours in line to see the movie at IMAX, because just having your seat beforehand is so nice. Like, it's really, it's very low stress, but it's a seven-story screen, so it's just gigantic, so it's a lot of fun to see it that way. But getting a little sidetracked, so I think those are all the new good. Oh, BB-8, the new droid. I think it was really cool. I think it could have verged on. I was worried, will this be kind of like Jar Jar? Will it be kind of just so stupid or whatever? But I thought the droid was perfect.
I had no problem with him. I thought his timing, you know, and he thinks his master is dead and all the different stuff is going on. But I'm an R2-D2 guy.
You're a loyalist.
I'm gonna be loyal to R2-D2. This guy's cool. He's got the whole wheel thing going on. He can, you know, he can travel anywhere.
He has ball savviness, which is important.
He does. It's very important. Like I said, I liked him. And like I said, he had that R2-D2. You know, he was loyal like R2-D2, but I'll stick with R2-D2.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody could replace R2-D2 in our hearts, but I thought BB-8 was really good. And just the way the puppeteers or whoever like did him. Did a really good job kind of conveying emotion. Like, I thought they did a really good job with
that. Like I said, I never even thought about Jar Jar being that, anyone being like a Jar Jar. So, but no, there was nobody like that in this one.
Yeah.
There was nobody. I said, get him off the screen or I'm going to kill someone.
But even the one scene where between Finn and BB-8, where like Finn's like saying, hey, I'm not part of the resistance. And like, that was a really funny scene.
Please.
Yes.
Tell us where you're located at.
Yeah, go ahead, tell him, BB-8. And then there's a little thumbs up with the little lighter thing. I thought
yeah,
was
that
funny.
Was funny. Yeah, it was funny.
So I think those are all the new good guys here. What did you think about your close friend Ken Leung being in this film?
I thought he was outstanding. Very likable.
Very likable, right?
Very likable this episode. So I thought that would have been my question. Hey, what's it like to be loved? Love where people just love you. You know, you make one mistake. You know, I sat in the hot sun for 3.5 hours, and that was our first interview.
Yeah, for those who know what we're referencing, for the Sunset on the Beach, Jack said, so Ken, was it like having everybody hate you? And it kind of threw me out, like, wait, people hate me?
I said, well, you know, and I went, wait a minute. It wasn't until like halfway through that I realized what I had said.
Yeah.
But, you know, the night before, to be fair to me, I had a whole conversation with Michael Emerson about being a hated character and stuff like that. So it just, I thought, oh, this would be a great question. I talked to Michael Emerson for 10 minutes about it, you know. Just, oh, you know. So, yeah, you sit in the hot sun. It was humid. If you see, I dug a hole like 6 feet deep.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, he kind of looked at me like you're just a jerk. You're Jar Jar in my eyes.
There was also it's a J.J. Abrams directed movie, so it can't be one of those movies without Greg Grunberg showing up. The pilot.
Is he becoming the what's his name?
Howard, Clint Howard.
Clint Howard of the Ron Howard movie.
Oh yeah, because was in I think Felicity, right? He was in Lost. He was the pilot in Lost.
I think he's an alias, right?
Yeah, I think he
it's
was.
It's got to be an alias.
Somewhere.
I mean, nothing personal. I think he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah. No, I like him. JJ.
Clint Howard's a good actor, so I'm not just saying. I'm just kind of just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If your friend can do you a solid, have your friend do you. I mean, what actor, like, you know, Bobby Monahan was on Dan Patrick
mm-hmm.
show, and he, you know how he said he wanted to be on Lost? He goes, he'd love to be on Star Wars because he's a big Star Wars geek.
Yeah.
And it's actually a pretty funny interview. He's talked to the Danettes. That's Dan Patrick's, you know, co-host, mm-hmm. what those guys are.
Producers, right?
And they're talking, Yeah, they're talking about it should be a New Hope or Star Wars, New Hope or Star Wars. And he goes, and Bobby goes, I will fight you over this. it was pretty fun. It was a good interview. But he says it's canon now. So it's you call it New Hope.
Yes.
Because they were saying, is it a New Hope, Star Wars? If you're a purist, what do you call it? And there's a whole debate. You know, what do you call it? I always called it Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until we started debating which one was the best movie. And I go, New Hope. Oh, that's right. That's what they call it now.
Yeah,
because I always just called it Star Wars.
In all fairness, it was retroactively called A New Hope in 1980, so it's not something added pretty fairly recently.
But in my time, when I went to go see it, it was Star Wars.
But it was still called A New Hope in your time. In all fairness, you were still in high school, and it was called A New Hope.
When it first came out,
I get it.
Before I could drive and had to be dropped off at the movie theater, that was in Mission Valley. It was Star Wars.
Absolutely, I understand.
So
I'm just saying,
if you spend 2 years going, oh, I love Star Wars. I can't wait for the next Star Wars to come out. It wasn't, you know, the name. It was, you just called it the next Star Wars.
Absolutely. Again, I'm not trying to take away from your experience.
It's like even Lost, when people started going, I go, oh, there's titles to these things. Each one of these episodes have a title. You never paid attention to titles of episode. It was just like, it was Cheers, but it wasn't Cheers, you know, whatever.
Well, let's go to the bad guys here. Some of the new, because there wasn't really any returning bad guys since they all died in the previous movies.
Right.
So let's go start with General Hux, the ginger with some anger problems.
I figure you'd hate him.
No, I thought he was great. Like compared to some of the people like Admiral Tarkin, I thought he had some, you know.
Where they were blowing up the other worlds.
Yeah.
Other planets. And the fire in his eyes,
yeah,
I thought was a cool special effect. Now, that's a cool special effect because it showed evil in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it was kind of showed the reflection of the, yeah.
Yeah, he's just got this grin on his face and, you know, millions of people are being killed and planets are being destroyed by this doomsday bomb, a weapon. And it just, I said, oh, that is cool the way the
it was a cool shot.
It was just well done.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not afraid of you know, he's not like, you know, how they were afraid of Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't afraid of anybody.
Yeah. No, it definitely
I'm in charge here.
But you know, I like it. I like that there, cuz Vader was always kind of like the weapon, the human weapon. Whereas, you know, there was like always like Admiral Tarkin, and the Emperor. It was kind of cool to have more of a evil voice. You know, like when he did that whole speech thing. I thought it was good. And I thought he did a very good job.
It was Hitler-esque.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, they're going for, like kind of fascist, you know, Mussolini, Hitler type, you know, evil leader.
Right. J.
What's that?
I said J.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's just like if you go to cinematic bad guys, it's the Nazis are the like Indiana Jones, the best ones when they were going against the Nazis. Like, you can't get worse than that.
You can't go wrong bashing Nazis.
Yeah,
you just can't.
They're the best bad guys.
There's not many people that go, I was rooting for them.
Yeah,
but it's not getting a lot of people do. I mean, I'm sure there's some.
There's no worry of, like, 100 years later it being un-PC to bash Nazis. Like, nope, they're always going to be bad guys. Like,
yeah.
There's no lens of history changing
our
perceptions.
Remember when it was cool you could bash Nazis? Now you can't? God! In my day, we could bash Nazis.
But, no, I thought he was great. Another one that kind of became a fan favorite before she was even really know much about her, it was, like, one scene of the trailer, then plus the action figures and stuff like that, is Captain Phasma, the metallic stormtrooper captain.
Yeah,
Who is played by, do you have the IMDb handy?
Yeah.
She plays Brianna Tarth on Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Gwendolyn Christie is the actress.
Yes.
Sorry, it stopped recording. We had some good stuff going on there.
It was great. It's gold,
it's
Jerry.
Golden. Gold. But she's definitely more of a Boba Fett kind of character where it didn't say much in it, but cool design. I also liked that it was a girl leader in the stormtrooper's suit. Again, I kind of like the idea of challenging. And again, it doesn't have to be something where it's over the head or something like that. It's like, we're going to make her a girl because we want a girl here. It's like, it was a cool a cool little twist on probably people's perceived expectations of something.
No, I didn't see it coming. Like, oh, that's a woman.
She didn't do much, though, and I hope, you know, the rumor has it maybe, not even rumor, but a theory is that will she be more in the next one, or is that it? Is that the end of that character? I love that Han was like, is there a trash compactor, you know, or is there...
that was funny. I forgot about that.
But no, she was really good.
Well, because, you know, you're talking about women, before we stopped recording, we were talking about women in the roles, and you see women, because I asked if there's were there any women in the Resistance in New Hope fighting the fighter, the fighter.
The planes, or not the planes, the ships.
No. We had it right the first time, but yes. I kind of blanket on this one this time. But
no, but there wasn't. Like, I think you had Princess Leia... And you had that woman leader in Return of the Jedi. Beyond right. that, there really wasn't that many women.
No, because you had all kinds of different characters in this one. And it's nice to see, because like BSG and the original Battlestar Galactica had women fighters. So
yeah.
Or pilots.
Yep. So no, I like that a lot. And then there was just a lot of complaints. Not a lot of complaints, but there was kind of just the more racist side of the world that was upset that John Boyega, who plays Finn... having a black lead in the movie, and it's just like, and I think he even says, like, if you're okay with all these, you know, crazy aliens playing all these different characters but not a human being with a different skin color, then that's your problem, you know, like, that's just, it's stupid, it's ridiculous.
You know, again, I could see it, you know, unfortunately, I could see it back when New Hope came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people might have a problem with it.
But even today, people had a problem with it. Like, there was this whole boycott Star Wars.
And that just shocks me.
I
mean, it shouldn't shock me, but it does shock me.
Yeah. But either way, I think the success of the Star Wars movie so far has shown that, you know, those people, the boycott that they tried to instill did not work.
I mean, I know they're still racist towards bald people. Because, like, what's the evil?
People aren't a race.
What's the evil guy? I'm drawing a blank on his name. That, you
know, which evil guy?
The guy that they went and he was a hologram or whatever.
Oh, the next one I was going to talk about, the Supreme Leader Snoke.
Supreme Leader. He's bald because he's evil. Can't have any hair. I get it. Yeah,
we saw the trailer for the new Superman movie, and he had hair there, so there's that, you know.
Who had hair?
Lex Luthor in that Superman trailer.
Well, because he's young. He doesn't.
Or was it a wig? It looked kind of ridiculous hair.
It did look. Well, what's his name playing it, so... Anyway, but no, the worst guy in the movie, of course, has to be bald. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. It's just a sign of the times. We can move in different directions, except the bald guy has to be the bad guy.
But yeah, let's go to that Supreme Leader Snoke, a character that a lot of people are kind of intrigued by and interested in. What, any theories about him? Like, I was like, well, is that like the Emperor to maybe survive and that's what's left of him now? Or
that's what I thought. I was kind of thinking that. I said, or is it just a man behind the curtain? Is it like Wizard of Oz type thing? What's going on with this guy? I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I did think that at first, that maybe the Emperor had survived and that's just him now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. They didn't really go into it. So, but they don't seem to be afraid of him.
No, oh, he might be a weak old man, but even there was still reverence for, like, similar to an Empire, where the first time we saw the Emperor was like a hologram, like we didn't actually see him until the third movie. But even
General Hux was not afraid of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it looks like the guy could do some damage.
Yeah,
and he was talking kind of snotty to him.
Yeah, the other thing was, too, is he really that big, or is that just because of the projector, or is he actually really tiny, or... He's an interesting character. I wonder where that is going to go.
It's probably some 3-inch guy, you know, behind
him. Some little alien. There's a theory I like is if he's Darth Plagueis, which, getting a little bit deeper into the mythology, Plagueis was the Sith Lord or Master of Emperor Palpatine, or Darth Sidious was his name. And Plagueis managed to find a way to not die or stave off death. And according to Palpatine, he learned how to do that, and he killed Plagueis. and then he was going to teach Anakin how to not die so that he could make sure that Padme didn't die. Spoiler alert, didn't work out too well for Anakin. That's a theory that's out. I mean, there's a lot of different theories abound, but interesting character, and I'll be excited to see where that goes in the next movies. And then the big baddie in this movie, Kylo Ren. What were your thoughts on Kylo Ren or Ben Solo?
Ben Solo. I liked him. Mm-hmm. I liked him better without his mask on.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed, I go, all right, what's the deal with the mask? Is he trying to be Darth Vader? What's he trying? If you know,
that's what he's trying to do. He's trying.
Yeah, at first that's what I'm thinking. Okay, this guy's just trying to be a Darth Vader wannabe.
Yeah.
What's the deal? I mean, I didn't know the whole. At first, you don't know what the story is, mm-hmm. and then when you find out, I go, did he have some kind of accident? Is he going to look? You know, is he going to be a little gross when he takes off his mask? And he takes off, I go, all right, dude, you're better without the mask. I know you're trying to be intimidating people, but it obviously a lot of people weren't afraid of him though either.
Mm-hmm.
Except the two Jedi's when they, two stormtroopers when he was throwing a hissy fit, and they heard him and they stopped and went, okay, let's just go back the other way. I thought that was funny. I thought he was a good character. The acting I thought was good.
Yeah,
I get because you worry about because you've been burned a couple times with the actors maybe not being up to snuff, maybe the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a great job. He was believable when he like I said when he was. Trying to read Rey's mind and he couldn't do it. You could see his frustration, but also fear.
Yeah.
That he knew that he was overmatched with her, that she was, that her force, whatever her powers were stronger than his.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it. I thought it was a great scene.
Yeah. I like him as, because like when we see Darth Vader, he's already, you know, that's 20 years after he kind of flipped to the dark side and became Darth Vader. So he's already right. Kind of polished and trimmed as this bad guy where right. This is kind of more early in his switch and he's still conflicted on is he truly a bad guy or where does he stand or what is he trying to do and he's like unstable, he's absolutely unstable,
right?
So it's just I think it makes for a good bad guy because it's not, he's not just straight up bad guy, there's just it's who knows where he's going to stand.
Yeah, and, he's a work in progress.
Yeah, and the big kind of scene was him killing Han Solo, which was like something that he felt he had to do to, you know, kind of fully end being his son.
I did like how Han Solo reached up and touched his face as he was dying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is you're still my son.
Yeah.
You know, I know you've gone to the dark side, but you're still my son, and his look... His look, his son was looking back at him like, did I make a mistake? this is my dad. It was. I thought it was a fantastic scene. Even though,
oh yeah,
we're all like, I mean, I wasn't shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people were shocked, but could see it coming. But I'm glad I didn't know for sure going into it.
Yeah,
I'm glad I stayed away from the spoilers for that. But I thought it was a great scene by Harrison Ford. His look. He had a great death. I mean, it was a good way for his character to go out.
Yeah, because I think it was definitely like the Obi-Wan Kenobi kind yes. of mm-hmm. go, you know, if we're going parallels between the first movie and this movie. But yeah, I thought it was that whole scene I thought was really well, like the way the scenes were shot, how it just kind of first was way panned out and you saw them both on two edges of the thing.
We have Chewie's expression.
Oh, yeah.
When it's going on, you could see, you know... Finn and Rey when they were looking on and
yeah.
just everybody looking onto the scene and you know, it's just like, no, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's a legend.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And but even at the same time, I think, and it may be more so now, you know, it's like as a father, as a parent, and I know people that aren't parents hate that when parents say that, but it's just there is something where it's like, I understand that, you know, like from Hanso, like I understand that. You know, you could be this cool badass smuggler all the time, but it's like if that's your kid, you know, you're going to do whatever you can to try and save him if you can, you know?
Well, it's funny how he was hesitant a couple of times to go up. I think he knew he was going to kill him.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he knew it. You know, he was trying to convince him that you don't have to go this way. You know, he's just going to use you. And once he's done with you, he's going to be done with you. And he goes, and you know it.
Yeah.
And you know it. But the power of the dark side was so strong that he just couldn't break away.
Yeah.
I just thought it was. I thought it was a fantastic scene. It was well done, and it was a good way for Han Solo to if he had to go,
Yeah.
That was a good way for him to go. And it wasn't some cheesy, you know, his he was blown up or something like that. He was killed.
Well, he's killed trying to like bring his son back, you know.
Right. Something that Han Solo's always had, his character's always, you know he has a heart because you've seen him over the years. Mm-hmm. But is he, you know, he had a heart. He was just, that was his son.
Yeah.
And his son broke his heart.
Yep.
And stabbed him in the gut.
But yeah, so that it was definitely like seeing it, because I've seen it with different people each time I've seen it, and so it's new for them each time. And like poor Heather, like she was like, she like didn't see it coming, and she started crying. I was like, yeah. You know, and Colleen, she got shocked, and like when you're and it happens, you know, and you see it, and it's everybody's kind of shocked. It's like it is crazy because Han Solo is just one of those, like he's one of those cowboys that you never think would go off into the sunset.
If you had a poll up, I think I did put up a thing once on our Patreon page, favorite Star Wars character, and I'm not sure, I can't remember who won, but I think Han Solo would probably, if you put him up there with Luke Skywalker and
I'd argue he's probably, you know, 9 times out of 10 will come up as the most popular.
It's almost like that question I ever had a chance to ask actors, who, you know, if you've had a character that's a powerful character, would you like him to live on or be killed off? Mm-hmm. Because some actors want to be killed off, so I can be done with this character. It's like Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do the second one, but you got to kill me off.
Yeah.
You got to kill me off. I'm not doing the third and fourth and fifth. You got to kill me off. I don't want to keep coming back. And Charlton Heston dies in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So Harrison Ford has done so many different roles where he's what he's known for. I mean, is he known better for Indiana Jones or Han Solo?
I think it's still Han Solo. Like he's had a lot of, I mean, arguably two of the most iconic roles, but I think even still Han Solo's first.
Probably now it went for sure because Star Wars is out and everybody's seeing it, and it's on Twitter, it's on Facebook, it's on every social media. But mm-hmm. before, you know, 3 years before they announced this was going to be made again, before Disney announced it was going to be made, it would probably be pretty close.
It'd be close, but I think still Han Solo would come out as the more popular.
So to me, it's not one of those things where an actor gets typecast.
Oh, no.
Some of these people on the show, I mean, Mark Hamill maybe got typecast as Luke Skywalker. I don't know. He didn't do a lot of in front of the camera stuff after. I mean, he's done a few things, but not like...
He's been a successful voice actor, but not... Really, Harrison Ford is the only superstar to kind of come out of that movie.
I would agree.
Would you argue? I mean, because Carrie Fisher, I mean, she's done things. Like, they've all done things, but like superstar... Harrison Ford was the superstar.
Well, because he's done, you know, tons of other movies that have, you know, he's done. So I know that didn't make sense.
I mean, you have The Fugitive, you have Blade Runner, you have Indiana Jones, you have Air Force One, you have the Tom Clancy movies.
Right. You had the one where he was the Witness.
Yep.
Witness. Which was a great movie.
But yeah, in terms of him going, I thought it was a good way to go.
My point is, like, he didn't. It wasn't something he had to do as an actor to have his character killed off.
Sure, sure.
It's like I said, it's not like, you got to kill me off. I don't want people coming. I don't want to be remembered for just this guy.
Well, I remember talking to Colleen like when it was. I was reading some interview with him, like earlier, maybe like 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And I was like, I think he's gonna die because. It's well known that he wanted George to kill him off
right
after Empire. Like, he would go in the carbonite, and then he would die either right at coming out of that or die in Return of the Jedi. And George is like, nope, you're going to, you know, finish this out. And so I was like, I think he's probably going to die. Plus, it's J.J. Abrams. Abrams always got to kill somebody.
Right.
And then also, if there was, there has to be, for the drama, there has to be kind of that, what's going to kind of set these people on this path. And for Kylo Ren, I think it was like, what's going to solidify him as a bad guy? Oh, killed, you know, the most popular Star Wars character, who's also his father.
Now people, if they were on the fence with this guy.
Yeah.
Are you killed Han Solo?
Because it's kind of like, is he like a Walter White kind of guy? Is a bad guy that you're going to kind of root for? Right. Or is there, but it's like, nope, okay, yeah, he's the bad guy.
I'm out. he can die.
And then it kind of led to that, I think, that great lightsaber fight first with Finn and then with Rey. But he got a little beat up towards the end there. He has his face got a big old scar on it, and
now he can wear the mask and with pride.
Yes, now he has a reason to wear the mask. but I thought Adam Driver did a great job. To your point, like, he conveyed the emotions really well. He conveyed his instability very well, instability. But yeah, so definitely a good character. I look forward to seeing what's going on from there. And then just overall the entire movie. What are your kind of final thoughts or about it?
It's one of those movies where, you know, like I said, I watched the prequels. I liked them. I didn't go, oh my God, these are the worst movies ever. I didn't complain a lot about them, but I sat through them. I liked them. I've probably watched them on TV once in a while. If they're on, I'll watch a little bit of it. It's not like A New Hope or some of the other ones, you know, the, you know, Empire or something like that, where it's on, I'm going to watch it. Cause like, for now, Steven, who's my son-in-law, I didn't know this till we were driving up there, had never seen any of them.
Yeah.
I go, oh my God, again, what is it with me driving to someone?
That's two in a row now for you.
And I honestly believe that you can watch this without and enjoy it without really knowing, and people are going to get mad at me, but I think you could watch it, enjoy it without really knowing too much of the story.
Because it's kind of like where it's a New Hope, where it kind of just drops you in. There's backstory. You don't know it yet.
Right.
But it's the story that you're in right now.
Now, he's watching him right now. As I walked by, he started watching A New Hope, and it was the scene where Luke is, you know, I want to go do that. So, of course, I'm laughing as I walk by it. He looked at me. I go, oh, you'll know later on. But it's like, oh, New Hope's on. Yeah, I just would watch it because I don't know how many times I've seen it, but I love that movie. And this movie, you've seen it already three times. You see it a fourth time. I go, no, I don't know if I'd run out to see it again, but I'd definitely see it, you know, like the next two or three weeks. I'd probably go see it again.
Yeah, it's
just to get that. And I'm glad I saw it. You know, like I said, if I would have known the seats, you could get seats ahead of time, because I wouldn't. I said, right, I'm not waiting in line.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to wait. But I'm glad, because it was getting hard, because someone would post something on Twitter. I'd go, I'd go off Twitter. I didn't want to be spoiled.
Yeah.
But I thought it was great. Except the bigger Death Star, what do they call it? The
Starkiller Base.
Starkiller Base. We still can't find something that the evil empire can just can't figure out how to make these things indestructible. There's always a weakness to it.
I did love that where, I think it was Han Solo said, is like, well, there's got to be a way to blow it up. There's always a way to blow it up.
Yeah, I thought that was a shout out to, I think, the fans. And,
yeah.
And, you know, people always made jokes about it. Why would it be, you know.
But at least this one, I mean, they had to really do a lot of damage to it to blow it up. It wasn't like just one little thing. Yeah. If they
use
the whole
force,
thing,
dude. Use the force.
Like, they had to do some damage there. But yeah. At that point, I would say, like, if I was, again, this is First Order, so maybe they haven't made, you know, they don't have as much knowledge about the mistakes the Empire made, but, you know, three Death Stars in, like, you know what, maybe this whole Death Star thing isn't the way to go. Because if you think about, that thing probably costs, like, trillions of Republican credits.
What kind of debt do they have?
Right? I mean,
where do they get their money from?
The wartime debt ratio there is just, and they just get blown up.
Are they selling bonds to people? Like, I don't know. I don't, is it like war bonds? Evil bonds?
Yeah, the resources to make an entire, because that was a planet they kind of showed in scale from Death Star to the Starkiller Base.
It's huge. I mean, it's mammoth.
Yeah, but to only get one use ships, out of it, I'd be
you
like,
got fuel, you got weapons, you got to feed these people.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot of money being, you know, it's a lot of debt.
Yeah, yeah.
I want answers on that. Who's paying this debt?
Yeah, it definitely, it might be a little bit boring, but if there was like a C-SPAN for the Star Wars universe and just the politicians arguing about, this war has cost us trillions of dollars and this
what have we got out of it?
This Death Star to nowhere. We only got to use it once.
Why do we have to take over the whole entire universe? Why? And we keep blowing up these planets. It means we have to go further out to get fuel, right?
Yeah, because they had to, you know, eat a star essentially to power it,
right?
But yeah, I also like that, not maybe morbid or whatever, but I like that they actually showed the planet getting blown up, kind of gave it more, I don't know, weight to it. Whereas when they blew up Alderaan, you didn't see all it just like blown up. It was like, oh, okay, I guess it was a nice place. I don't know.
Well, you had Obi-Wan going, oh man.
Like, wow. I know you didn't see it, but man, that was crazy.
If you had the Force, if you knew how to use the Force, you'd be like, this is ridiculous.
It's like, come on, guys. Come on.
Come on now. But I did. I agree. I just kind of. But it wasn't like over the top special effects either.
No.
It was just like, okay, that's believable. I can believe a weapon like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they don't have them, but I can believe I can believe a weapon like that.
But yeah. So how many thumbs would you give overall to?
Oh, easily Force four Awakens? Thumbs. Easily four thumbs.
Yeah, I would give four thumbs.
If you're even half a Star Wars fan. You have to see this movie.
Yeah. So, do you think it redeems, or for the Star Wars fans that maybe were kind of disappointed by the prequels? Do you feel like, because you experienced something that I didn't, as you saw Star Wars in theaters when it first came out? Did it kind of? And again, it's not. I don't think we get even arguing if it was as good as, because I don't think you can argue that. But,
no.
Did it match?
I wouldn't put it up there, but it's
match
better.
That?
It definitely better than prequels. It had that. Same vibe to it, you know. It's just like, you know, it's just, of course, you know, the New Hope again. It's when I saw Star Wars, I knew nothing about it. Just there was an internet and all this thing. It was just word of mouth. Hey, you gotta go see this movie. It was like something you'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. This one, you're seeing the old characters again. I think that helped mm-hmm. a lot to the story. But it, you know, to bring these new characters in with the older characters, I think that helped the movie a lot.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing people, oh, my love Han Solo. I get a little glimpse of Luke Skywalker. I was kind of hoping we'd see Lando.
Oh, Lando Calrissian?
I thought that's who they were going to go see.
What do you mean?
When he said, I got to go see an old friend. I go, oh, it's going to be Lando.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that would have been cool.
But I guess
he wasn't like in any of the things saying he was going to be in the movie.
I know, but I kind of stayed spoiler free on that too.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't really look to see who was in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that the main characters were going to be in the movie, but I was kind of, oh, that would be cool. Oh, these maybe. And I said, well, who's this girl? I don't remember seeing her before, but I think that helped too. You have, you know, anytime you have a Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, these main characters again that you fell in love with, those are who you fell in love with the movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's smart to bring new characters in with the older characters, and you kind of weed the older characters out and let the newer characters take the story further.
Yeah, because it's risky, though, at the same time, because if you're putting them in the same scenes together, you also run the risk that, yeah, Han Solo was great, but this new character just was paled in comparison right next to Han Solo. But
they did a good job, especially like with Rey. In fact, for a minute there, I thought Rey was Han Solo's daughter.
Yeah, that's a big theory. Is it?
I said because she knows everything about it, but when she met Carrie Fisher, I'm sorry, Princess Leia, she didn't. It didn't click.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, unless Han Solo had a, you know, something.
It would have been on the side, because if the Force is in the family, Leia would have had to have been the mother,
right?
Or Luke the father.
Yeah, but then also she would have known. Even if she hadn't seen her since she was a baby, she would know who, you know, she would, oh, that's my daughter.
Yeah. But there's still some people that say, like, Leia knows, but she's not telling her. Like, or they said, maybe it's just this person, she was born and has no connection. She's just strong in the Force. But there's just theories about all of it. I'm leaning towards Luke's daughter. And then when Jedi thing fell apart, he's like, I got to send her away so she doesn't get hurt.
I thought that, but I'm leaning against it just because it's too obvious.
Uh-huh.
Because that was my first, okay, go ahead and say, Dad? Want to have a catch?
Papa? Yeah, Dad, do you want to have a lightsaber duel?
Yeah. Want to do that for old time's sake, huh?
Baseball, Ray.
Do your Yoda impression.
Which, oh my God, James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader, and is in Field of Dreams.
Yes.
There's the connection.
There's the connection. You got it right there. So, no, but going back to the bringing the new characters, it wasn't like they just. They
oh, and Ray Kinsella, and then Ray.
Yeah, Ray. There it is.
We have the theory of all theories.
Don't sell this star, Ray. Don't sell this star. People will come, Ray. They will come. They'll come and die, but they'll come. I thought they played well together.
Yeah, me too. I thought again. I think, and credit that to maybe just JJ's style. You know, the school of bad robot. He's good with characters. Right, he's good with good dialogue, and
When Finn was with, I thought Finn with Han Solo worked well together because
look
Solo, yeah. Solo,
Han, okay, Mr. Okay. Solo,
yeah, hey, big deal.
Yeah. He's like, hey, I'm a big deal, and so he kept calling him Big Deal, which
Okay,
funny.
Big deal, let's go, Big Deal.
I also like the and he's like, so what did you do when you're here? He's like, I was in sanitation. He's like, what? He's like, so how are you going to know how to turn off the things? Like, I don't know. I'm only here for Rey. He's like, we'll use the Force. And then Han's like, that's not how the Force works.
That was funny. I was shocked that Finn was the comic relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, going in, you thought he was going to be the hero. He was going to be a Jedi or something like that. And he may still be.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to have talent. But I was shocked that he was the comic relief.
Yeah.
That threw me off, but not that I hated it. I thought that was good.
So what did you think about kind of closing out the movie with Luke Skywalker? Kind of as it was going on for me, I was like, so, because there was a lot of theories, like, why wasn't Luke in the trailers? Like, he wasn't shown at all, but we know he's going to be in it. And everyone was just like, well, is he Kylo Ren, or, you know, is he a bad guy in this movie? So there's a lot of different theories. But
did he go to the dark side finally?
He could
go to the dark side, because if he went to the dark side, the resistance would be dead.
Exactly. Even then I was like, okay, so he's gonna be like the Obi-Wan Kenobi now, since he's old, and he's gonna guide whoever to be the new Jedi. But really, kind of Han Solo was kind of the Obi-Wan Kenobi in this movie a little bit.
Right.
So it was mainly because he's only in the movie for like 5 seconds.
It almost had that Lord of the Rings finale,
right? Yeah,
but I'll go see the second one.
Because honestly, like when ever
I'm sorry, the eighth one. Don't get up, Star Wars geeks.
When Rey takes off on the Millennium Falcon, I thought that was kind of the end of the movie. You know, I was like, that's a good place to end it.
Right.
But then they kind of go on a little bit further, and they show Rey going to this Jedi temple wherever he was. He goes up there. Now, some people have said, did you notice, was Luke standing next to a tombstone that was there? It was a grave marker of some sort.
I didn't notice that.
So was he there mourning somebody? Who knows?
I was wondering if they were even going to turn around.
Yeah.
I said, oh, don't have him not turn around. Then I'll be ticked. They had to have him turn around.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Come on, turn around. I said, okay, there you go. And that
kind of closes it out. You know, there's a bit of an awkward stare for a little while, and then they kind of pan around, and that's the movie.
They didn't have their catch.
They didn't have the catch yet. but I'm excited. Like I liked Luke's look. You know, this is definitely kind of an older kind of Jedi master. I'm kind of excited to see how that'll go.
He definitely has that Obi-Wan look. He has the hood over his head. You know, the whole
big old beard, gray beard.
I don't think he smiled at all either. we forgot about the scene with Rey when she was trying to get the stormtroopers to take the...
I did want to bring that up. So she uses the old, you know, Obi-Wan trick, you know, the old Jedi mind trick.
Yeah.
That was a cameo appearance. Do you know who the cameo was?
I don't. The stormtrooper?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was Daniel Craig.
Was it?
Of James Bond fame, yeah. So he was shooting the latest James Bond Spectre. It was in a studio kind of right next to where they're doing Star Wars. So he came over for the day, and they had him get in the suit and do that scene. So that was his voice and him in the suit.
Huh.
Daniel Craig.
That was nice, because he wouldn't do it at first.
Yeah.
And she goes, and drop the gun.
Yeah.
And drop the gun.
I didn't realize it either the first time I saw it. And the first time I saw it was like, hey, did you see Daniel Craig? I was like, I don't remember, that's a pretty recognizable person. I don't remember seeing him in the background anywhere. And then, so I watched again with Colleen. I was looking the whole time. I was like, I didn't see Daniel Craig. And then Colleen was like, hey, did you know Daniel Craig was in the movie? I was like, yeah, but I didn't see him. I was like, he was the stormtrooper. I was like, oh, man. So it was cool seeing it now this time. I was like, okay, now I recognize the voice.
Right. Yeah, I still haven't seen that new James Bond movie either.
It's good. You would love it. It's definitely, it goes back to James Bond's roots a little bit. And that's the type of James Bond that you love. But it was really... I mean, I've loved all the Daniel Craig James Bonds, like the one before Skyfall, that was awesome. And the first one he did, Casino Royale, that was great. This one I thought was...
You going to see the one with Damian Lewis?
No. Because it's not going to happen.
It's gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. Like, Damian Lewis is too old. He's as old as Daniel Craig, I think.
He's not too old.
It'd be stupid. It'd be so stupid.
Stop hating on the gingers, man.
I'm not hating on the ginge.
You're hating on the ginge.
General Hux was great.
As an evil person.
It's they do it well. No, I'm kidding.
Bald people and redheads. We're all evil.
No, but the end definitely had me excited. And I was almost, it was good that I kind of, when I went in to see it for the first time, I was like, okay, this is a J.J. Abrams production. Don't go into it thinking it's going to be wrapped nice and neatly with a bow. Like, there's still more to come.
Right. Because even New Hope, it ended.
Yeah, pretty much. Darth Vader got away, but...
Well, then you had people saying, I think a campaign came... I can't really remember. I don't know if it was when the next one came out, when it started, Darth Vader Lives. There was, like, bumper stickers and pins.
Mm-hmm.
It said, Darth Vader Lives. I go, Darth Vader Lives? I go, well, that's right. He didn't die.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't know there was... Well, later on, there came out, there was nine stories or supposedly nine movies that were going to be made and... All the stuff you heard here about, but yeah, this one definitely ended where, okay, we have to have another one.
Yeah. And I guess what's nice about this, at least, is it's only a year and a half away, whereas the other ones, all the others are like 3 years apart. So we don't have to wait that long for the next one. They're actually filming it in January. And they announced the entire cast is coming back. So I guess the only way is maybe Han Solo in a flashback or something like that. I don't know.
Or he landed on some pillows or something. And the wound was only a flesh wound. What do you think?
It could be, but it was sad. It's like, no, Han Solo, I love Han Solo, but like, I'm okay with it because it was a good character arc, I feel like.
He's had a good life.
Yeah.
I do like that Princess Leia knew right away.
Yes. She's strong in the Force.
She knew that son, I should have given more than a timeout. Timeouts didn't work with this kid. I knew it. I knew someday he was going to kill his dad. I didn't believe in spankings and.
Mm-hmm. So honey is a good kick in the ass. Yeah. What has changed everything?
Sometimes you need it. Sometimes it. I'm not saying it should be done all the time. Sometimes you have to do it. Or he turns out to be this kid that kills your father. I guarantee it, she never laid a hand on him. I'm kidding, people. Don't send your hate.
Well, I guess if you're strong in the Force, would there just be a Force slap? Like, you wouldn't have to actually slap, just like use the Force to slap.
You just do like Darth Vader. you flick your fingers.
Yeah.
No. your head.
You're across the room.
Yeah. Mom. You're making me mad.
But
dark side.
As a original Star Wars fan, because you can say that you're an original Star Wars fan.
I'm an original.
You give it a thumbs up. You think it?
I'd give it.
Lives up to the name.
It lives up to the hype because you start worrying too because all these people go, oh my god, Star Wars.
There's lot of hype, right? Yeah.
Are they just going there because it's Star Wars and they've been hungry for a good one in a while and. You know, the anticipation was, and you see Rotten Tomatoes. I only saw a few people who didn't like it on
Twitter.
Who
didn't like it? Nick. Nick hated it.
Really?
Yeah. He. We should have him on. But he hated it.
He's from the South.
He just, he wrote a two-page dissertation on how much he hated that movie.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely hated it.
Well, you know, he still roots for the Confederacy, and they lost. So maybe he sees the Confederacy in the dark side.
In the First Order. No, his biggest frustration is he felt it was just A New Hope and there was nothing new about it and was really disappointed.
When I was watching the movie, I go, I can see where some people don't like this. I didn't know why because I didn't want to read anybody's comments or something like that. I wanted to go in just with my own. Sometimes when you go listen to a critic or something like that, they can influence your decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone goes, "Oh, it's terrible," and you start looking for the parts that are terrible and start picking. That's why you want to go the first couple days it's out.
Yeah.
But I said, "Oh, this is a lot like A New Hope."
Yeah.
But I loved A New Hope.
Yeah.
So I had no problem with it.
Yeah, again, I didn't have a problem with it because it's just, to me, it's throughout time, history repeats itself. So,
right.
You know, people just make the same mistakes over and over again. You'd be surprised. So, like, to me, I thought that was fine. Because even A New Hope, like, the plot points are kind of just those classic plot points, right? Like, even, you know, Knights of the Round Table, you had, you know, Merlin, the old wizard that helped guide young King Arthur. And, you know, so it's just like, it's not... The core of the story is not anything new per se. No. It's just it's in a different universe, different light, all this kind of stuff. So like I didn't mind that as much, but Nick hated it.
Well, in this one too, they didn't really, you know, Princess Leia had to be rescued.
Yeah,
Rey had already escaped.
Yeah,
so that was they did help. They did, you know, they did help her get her out, but Princess Leia really had to be rescued.
Yeah,
you know, Luke, I'm here to rescue you. Aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? And then they end up in the trash compactor and, you know, the whole thing. But this one, she uses her powers to get away.
Yeah.
So that's different. I mean, there were some things that were similar. Some of the story was the same. But like you said, it when one evil person dies, unfortunately, there's another evil person to take their spot.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just the way it is. Yeah. There's always going to be someone that's greedy and wants to take over, you know, let's say their names are the Spanos. Let's say they're the dark side.
You know, yeah. If one falls, another takes his place.
Yeah, another one takes his place. There's just too many Spanoses.
Well, yeah. I mean, just you look at there's you can try all you want, but there's always going to be evil in the world and there's always going to be good in the world.
Right.
It's just kind of that and eternal
it's just how,
struggle.
How do you live with, you know, you see it the world today.
Yeah.
There's good and there's bad, and it's how do you take care of the bad and still stay on the good side?
Yep.
And I think that's the story of Star Wars.
Exactly, yeah.
How do you defeat the bad by still staying, keeping your values?
Yep.
And that's
kind of the force, right? Like the dark side, the dark side of the force is you give in to your hate and use that to become more powerful.
Right.
Versus it's harder to be on the light side or the good side of the force because you actually have to show restraint and hold back.
Right.
And I think it's a great, it's true in that it's easy to be bad. It's harder to do the right thing sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, we all have a dark side to us. We all have that. Can't do it. I can't do it. And we all do things. We regret.
Yeah.
But some people just, they can't help
using the Chargers as your home.
Yeah, your team. Yeah, you choose the Chargers, and you're loyal to them forever, and then they just say, "We're leaving.
Yeah.
Sorry, Luke, we're out of here.
We're not bitter."
No.
But anyway, so I'm excited. I'm excited for what's coming up. And
The whole thing, who Rey's father is, who her parents are.
Yeah, any crackpot theories there?
I we wanted to go the easy route. My first thought was, okay, just say it. I'm your dad. You know. But obviously they weren't going to do it. I just have to think it's somebody else, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one I could think of, maybe it could be Obi-Wan Kenobi, some bloodline down the line.
Huh.
It has to be someone that was very, you know, the Force was strong in him, right? So it has to be, obviously Luke's your first choice because Luke, you know, he did go away. But it's so obvious.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. Why would he leave her behind?
Mm-hmm.
His dad left him behind. But his dad left him behind when he was evil.
Yeah, the Luke mistakes of her father. You know?
Yeah, Luke was never evil.
Yeah,
he got frustrated because, you know, his nephew turned on him. So, I just don't think it's Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And does Luke train his daughter? I'm not buying it. I think it's got to be some. I was racking my brain. I said, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Yoda. Could it be Yoda? I said, did she have any green in her? She had green lipstick or something? I don't know. I'm just saying, could it be someone? I guess it had to be someone.
Well, generally, and I know Anakin kind of broke the rules, but Jedi aren't supposed to, you know, have a wife.
Right. And we never see Luke. The only person I ever saw Luke kiss was Leia.
And you know,
so...
Are we have a Joffrey situation here?
Yeah, maybe we do. I don't know. Leia turns back at, you know, Cersei and goes, yeah, I know. Yeah. Only one, but I know.
But Oh my God, it's horrible. Anyway,
it happens. What do you want me to do? I didn't write this.
But
well, who do you think it is? Do you think it's Luke?
Luke's the easy answer. You're right. I think Luke's the other one. It could be Han and Leia's daughter.
Right.
Leia was pregnant and maybe didn't tell Han after they kind of broke up or whatever, and then kind of put her out there so that she would be safe.
Safe.
And I would be okay with her not saying anything because if you like the embrace it, like they hugged and like there's something where she knows, but it would be in the Star Wars lore to not say anything, much like Obi-Wan never told Luke that he had a sister, even though he knew.
After I kissed her before that would have been a good time to tell.
Like, thanks. Thanks, old Ben.
I have the hots for my sister.
But
wait, that's your sister. Oh, man.
You could have told me that before. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. I don't do them like you, but.
Ben.
I could see that because she does have Han Solo's traits.
Yeah, exactly.
Good, excellent pilot. She knows her way around a.
But again, Luke did too. Like Luke was a good pilot as well, and so is Anakin.
Was.
So I could see either being because it would also kind of go with the whole twins or the siblings where, like Han. Luke and Leia were siblings, whereas Kylo and Rey could be siblings.
He definitely read something in her.
Yeah.
He definitely read something in her because he kind of had that look like, I'm glad I didn't kiss her. But I was thinking the whole movie, that's what I was thinking. Okay, who's her family?
Yeah. Because she kept referencing it, right? Like it's this classic, you know, JJ move. Like it's hitting us over the head with it.
Yeah.
But will we get to me, I could see, or I could also see it being we're not going to find out. Like, do we need to know? Like, she's just, it's a random family and she just happens to be strong in the Force.
No, we have to find out. Because the way they left it.
Yeah.
You can't give us, oh, this is an answer we're never going to answer.
Well, they hit us over the head with it, right? Because even the, whatever that, I can't remember her name now, the little orange lady. She was like, so who's this girl? You know, she asked Han. Like, so there's a lot of just hitting you over the head with it. I was like, I'm going to wait for my family. And then that little old lady said, it's like, don't look behind you. Look what's in front of you. That's where I was like, well, I guess could that be Leia or could it be Luke?
Right.
Like, it's either or.
I'm going to say I hope it's not Luke.
Okay.
I just hope it's not Luke.
Why would you not want it to be Luke?
Because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
It's almost, I don't want to say lazy writing because it really would be lazy writing, but the whole...
But even like it's not I don't know if it's lazy.
The whole episode it's Harrison Ford's daughter, except she has the Force, so that it has to be Princess Leia,
which it could still
General
be,
Leia,
right?
Which it could still be. That's
Leia's
how it
also
it's
strong in the Force, it's
and maybe that's
family.
Why they have to have a flashback, not to show Kylo, but to show Rey as a youngster with
because it seems like Han knows something as well. Like it's like he's. Like he's attached to her, you know. He wants to her to be a part of
it. He wanted to offer a job right away, you know. Chewie likes you.
Yeah. but so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, so I'm leaning towards that. Something other than Luke's, because I haven't read anybody. I haven't read any theories or nothing on it yet. That's why I'm dying to do that later on. Just go see what other people are talking about. Because when you don't want to get spoiled, obviously you can't read what's out there.
Yeah, it's. And yeah, definitely. I'm glad I stayed spoiler free. Just and even like I was like I stopped watching the trailers. I was like I don't need to see anything else.
I watched the first trailer. That was it. I didn't watch anything after that. And we didn't talk about the music.
Oh yeah, John Williams.
When that music starts up again, because someone sent me a thing. Oh, you'll feel I felt like a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you know what? You did. When the music starts, I'm an old man now.
Yeah.
And when that music hits, you go. It's like I'm 14 again.
Yeah.
And that music, it gives you the same chills in your body that the music is so good.
Yeah.
And it fits the story so well. It just, even that's just, it was just, it's just, it was, I definitely go see it.
Yeah.
Of course, if you've listened to this, there's probably no reason to go see it. But,
but no, like, you're right. Like, the music, and, you know, it'd be a shame if we didn't talk about it. Like, John Williams did the score again. But it was just like, it was great because it brought back some of the themes from the first movies that were great. Like, Luke's theme, like, when the lightsaber comes to her, it's like, doo 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 doo. And then you had the Leia and Han theme, like their romance theme.
Right.
But even the new themes I liked. I like Rey's theme. I liked the kind of the new bad guy theme for Kylo Ren. I thought was good. Right. So yeah, you're right. Absolutely. The music was a big part of it.
And it's a shame this movie's not making any money.
So the records it broke, it had over 100 million in pre-sale tickets. Like, just think about that. Like, before even when it came on, it had $100 million in pre-sales. That's insane.
That's incredible.
It had over 238 million for the opening weekend.
And just the merchandise alone. Because it's been in, like, if you go to Target.
Oh, yeah.
It's been everywhere. It's been a Target for months.
There's BB-8 Clementine oranges.
Are you kidding me?
No, like, it's everywhere. There's Star Wars everything.
I mean, every commercial, because we heard of an advertisement heard an advertisement for Star Wars to be in a theater. I go, why are they wasting their money on this?
Yeah, you know people are going to see it, right?
Yeah, at what point do you go, all right, I know we had this budget to ad blast this thing out there. Don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's wait a couple weeks and then remind people, hey, go see it again.
And to put that in perspective, Avatar, which is considered the highest grossing film in history, $3.1 billion in global ticket sales,
took
$85 million over its first 3 days. Star Wars did $238 million.
God.
And broke the previous record, which was Jurassic World earlier this year, which did $208 million, which is, again, insane. And it had $517 million in worldwide ticket sales over the weekend. That ain't bad.
Like I said, how many jobs have been created from this movie?
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Well, that's where, you know, for me, when Disney said they bought Lucasfilm for $4 billion, like, I went and bought more stock because I was like, that's brilliant, because, like, Star Wars is like that evergreen story. It's like owning one of the best mythologies you can own. They own, like, all of Disney, they own Marvel, and they own Star Wars. And so there's like a worry that Disney would kind of ruin it, but did this quell those fears for you?
No, they didn't ruin it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they know how to market a movie. I mean, every time you turn around a corner, you see Star Wars toys. I go, oh my God. And in fact, we had a skating event on Friday night, and we're a little slow at first. I'm like, we're trying to figure out. I go, Star Wars. They go, oh. I go, everyone's at Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, we still had a successful night, but it wasn't as successful as we thought. I said, you know what we should have done? Instead of making an Elsa skate with Santa, obviously you still have skate with Santa, we should have made a Star Wars theme.
That's true. You could have tapped into the...
didn't even think about it. Because, you know, every drink, every soda, it's all Star Wars.
Yeah, it's true.
Because I jokingly said I just found out I got 10% of the profit from Star Wars. Hope it makes money.
What did you see where there's one article that Sir Alec Guinness, when he did the first Star Wars movie, he was paid $6,000 to do the movie, but part of his thing was to take a 2% take in the film.
I thought a lot of them did that.
Maybe. But
because the movie, they didn't have a lot of money to pay the actors.
Yeah. Well, like, for even just Sir Alec Guinness, the little bit that he did in the first movie made him like $95 million when they re-released it, like that alone. Like, so his family still makes millions of dollars a year from that 2% stake in the first Star Wars movie.
Wow. That's not bad.
It's not a bad gig.
That's about 95 more, 95 million more than I made.
Yeah,
last year.
But yeah.
I thought I heard a lot of the actors did that.
Maybe they probably did. And to, good for them.
Because sometimes I go, what? You want me to do what? I guess you take a chance. You know that the movies. I think Donald Sutherland did that. I think that in Animal House, if I'm not mistaken. He did. He took a percentage or something like that, and it paid off because it was such a big hit.
It's the way to go. It's the way to go.
I did this on the podcast too, but I'm still waiting for the payout.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to cap it off here. Go see it if you haven't. Well, actually, hopefully you have seen it if you're listening to this.
Yeah. I apologize for the spoilers if you hadn't seen it.
About an hour and a half of spoilers. Sorry about that. But we did warn you, in all fairness. But again, thanks to the patrons that this was your patron's choice podcast for this month. Actually, it almost was made last month. But yeah.
I did vote Logan's Run.
You did? Okay. That's good.
I figured no one else would vote for anything else. I said, come on, you can't have a complete skunk.
Oh, man. All right. So, guys, we will see you again next time. Go ahead and see Star Wars. And until then, hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.